Welcome to Here for the Cocktail Party. I'm Rayanne.
And I'm Sean. Each week, we'll be sipping cocktails, spilling tea, and diving into the latest gossip on Matt James' season of The Bachelor.
Kiki with us every week as we overanalyze the contestants' love connection and follow their journey with a healthy dose of alcohol and skepticism. We're recapping episode 6 today. Oh boy, oh boy.
I think we still need a Mean Girls purge. It still needs to happen. This is just getting out of hand for me, and I am losing my mind.
When you think it's going to end, it's not going to end.
I think the crazy thing is there's not that many girls in the house left, and it feels like there is 50 million girls left in this house.
So true. I agree. I looked when we were typing, you know, the roses and everything, which we'll get into. But I was like, wait, that's the list? Didn't we just have like 35 people? What's going on?
It still feels like 35 people are in this house, and I don't know how I feel about it. But at least we had mulled wine to keep us company and keep us warm from the frostbite all of these girls are giving us this episode.
Yeah, it just soothed my soul, made me all warm inside, a little spice. But MJ was still bringing the ice.
She was cooling down that mulled wine faster than the 5-degree weather in Denver. Let me tell you, after we are well into our cocktails, we start the episode with the 2-on-1, and we zoom in on the two girls fighting. This is Jesenia and MJ, and they are just going at each other's throats. More like MJ going for Jesenia's throat, but you get the picture. And MJ tells Jesenia, "You have done enough talking." And I'm like, bitch, okay. Do not silence people of color. She was such a Karen in that moment.
It's just a shit show. And then Matt walks in, like Principal Matt, sitting in the middle of him, like, okay, girls, I heard that you were disruptive in history class. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And Matt does want to get to the bottom of it. And you can tell because he pulls Jesenia aside first. I have to say, Jesenia is very calm in this moment. And she is articulating her points. And I'm like, girl, this is the most well-spoken I've seen you this whole time. And you are sending MJ home if this is how you're going to act.
She is really well spoken. At the end of the day, this whole argument and the two of them being pitted against each other, I think could have just totally went away because I don't think he likes either of them that much.
And I was kind of expecting him to send them both home because I agree. I don't know what he sees, and it is very clear that both of them don't have chemistry. Jesenia goes off about how MJ lied to Matt's face and that MJ was actually at the forefront with Victoria in dividing the house. This is where they cut to MJ and she pulls a Victoria and starts saying, this is just too much. She starts fake crying to the producers. And I'm like, oh gosh, MJ, what is going on with you?
Yeah, she's just curled up in her 80s power suit with her 80s hair. And then they go to her in the moment and she's like, okay, I need to fluff my hair. I forgot who I was for a moment. I had a weak bitch moment, but I'm back.
I can respect the quote, but at the same time, I'm like, so you're two different people? Do you have multiple personalities?
She talks to Matt after she has her moment. She's her own hype woman and hypes herself back up. She says that her biggest fear is losing him. And again, she mentions fucking harmony and peace. I can't anymore. And she says she spoke her truth from the heart. She's just saying all of these inspirational quotes that mean nothing. And I think he's kind of fallen for it.
Yes, he was 100% falling for it. But he would get a wake-up call if he took her all the way to hometowns and he walked in and her place says live, laugh, love. It would be everywhere.
I think it would be more like she thinks she has edgy quotes, lipstick, than boss bitch. When it boils down to it, it is just live, laugh, love stated in a different way.
After Matt talks with MJ, he says, I have decisions to make. I'll see you both later. And I'm like, how long did he leave them there?
This is where one of my favorite moments of the episode comes in. And Jesenia is telling MJ that she has multiple personalities and casually calls her Meredith, which I'm assuming is MJ's legal name. Woo! That was a salty dig in the best of ways, and I loved it.
Oh, you go by MJ? Well, you're Meredith tonight. You're showing me Meredith.
That was so good.
I feel like so many people name their drunk personas different names, but what made this so great is Meredith is her actual name.
I did have a persona in college.
I knew it.
Her name is Donna Sunshine. My friend was Barbara Rock and Roll. Shout out, you know who you are. That's who we became after a couple of sparks. And if you're too young to know what sparks are, don't ever drink them. You'll get heart palpitations.
If that's not the damn truth, I feel like I'm still suffering from sparks.
All right. Anyway, enough about us. We get Meredith and Jesenia still chilling there. And then Matt comes back in. He says, I can't give you this rose, MJ. Can I walk you out? I thought MJ was going to have like a Victoria moment. Just was pissed because she didn't get chosen. But she didn't. So that was slightly surprising.
It's because she put Meredith away and showed MJ. So that's why she didn't bitch him out. But I totally agree. But of course, she bitched out during the whole ride. And she's like, I don't know how Jesenia sabotaged me. Bitch, when you're saying shit like this, you fucking dug your grave and laid in it. They don't show Jesenia get the rose, but she walks into the group cocktail party with her rose. And we know Jesenia was saved.
With her rose and her smirk. Well deserved. She says MJ didn't have an argument to stay, which true. And then this is where we see Kit talking to Jesenia. And all I kept thinking to myself was how she was trying to pretend that she's not a mean girl. She's walked this line of obviously being a part of the drama, but somehow being able to skirt around it. And it, I mean, it's artful.
If there is one person that is calculated in this house, sorry, Kit, you're the one girl, because you are like toeing the line, but you know exactly how to stir the pot without having the finger pointed at you.
Then we get Chris Harrison, and he, of course, comes in to announce that there's not going to be a cocktail party.
Which is bullshit.
And all the girls just take a giant sip of their drink because they are pissed. This is where we get Serena C looking towards Katie to be her next target. And she's like, wherever there's been drama, you've been a part of it, Katie. Essentially, it's your fault that Matt doesn't want to have a cocktail party.
So your fault, Katie. So your fault.
Yeah, so we get a taste of that. More of this later on in the episode. And then we just see Ryan spiraling. Bad foreshadowing.
Matt walks in. He says, you know, I made up my mind. I'm sorry we didn't have a cocktail party. And we already know that Rachel, Abigail, Kit, and Jesenia will be going into next week because they got date roses from either group dates, one-on-ones, or in Jesenia's case, the two-on-one. But the people who do get roses to go on are Serena P, Michelle, Piper, Bree, Chelsea, Katie, and Serena C.
So MJ obviously went home. Then Maggie goes home. I'm so sad. We hardly had any time to love her.
But then Brittany goes home. So obviously it wasn't worth her coming on TV to be slut-shamed. And then Ryan goes home after her.
Brittany got done dirty. It's like, let's spend an entire episode about you, but just how there are rumors about you being an escort And then we're not going to let anybody get to know you. We're just going to kick you off the week after.
How fucking brutal. And if you think about it, now Michelle is the only new girl standing.
Yeah, makes sense, though.
But she won't be the new girl for long.
After the ladies go home, this is where we see Serena C. go up to Katie to talk to her. Because she thinks Katie is calculating and annoying and is frustrated by her because she keeps running her mouth. And so here we go again. It's like you finally get MJ out of here. We got Queen Victoria out of there last week, but it just never stops. It's never ending with the girl on girl fighting.
It's like one girl steps up to the plate after like the Queen Bee is eliminated and Serena C is now trying to assume the Queen Bee mean girl role, and they are fucking screaming at each other. It's not even a fucking conversation, and they even pan over to Kit and she's like, holy shit, do you hear that? And that's her stirring the fucking pot without being the mean girl.
I know there are a lot of Katie stans out there. And again, I enjoy her most of the time as well. But she doesn't look too good in this situation either. And she's just screaming about mean girls. It's like, okay. You're both being a little bit mean to each other right now. So let's like calm it down. If you want to have a conversation about something, which Katie usually does. She's usually very level-headed. But then on the other side of things, like I get it. Because if I was around annoying people for that amount of weeks without blowing my fucking top off, I'd probably be screaming too. So I understand.
I know. Like, she was so level-headed with Victoria, but I think she's just had it at this point. And she's like, fuck you. I am going to fucking scream in your face and walk away. And that's exactly what she does. And Serena C goes back to the girls and starts talking on Katie's behalf of what the conversation was. And I'm like, this proves you're a mean girl, Serena.
Serena's like, Katie came in hella hot with her sex positivity, and that's her thing. She's not here for Matt. And so Katie walks in. She's like, you don't have to whisper. Just keep talking.
And I'm like, yes, Katie. Yes. You fucking throw that shade because you know exactly what Serena C is talking about.
This is a little shady on my part. However, I did say night one that Katie's intentions was to pretty much be a TikTok comedian, and I'm still not taking that back, and I'm not judging her for it. You have the platform, girl, do it up. But as much as Serena sucks, like, I think maybe she sees a little bit of that in her. So...
Serena C has the x-ray vision that you have to see that Katie will be a TikTok comedian after this. And I don't think you're wrong.
Just play a little devil's advocate over here. I get both sides for right now. And the other thing is that neither of them are going to end up with Matt. So again, it's just stupid.
Oh yeah, it's just so bad. And then Heather pulls up in her minivan to the front gate and this guy's like, no, you can't come in. And she's like, call Chris Harrison.
And she goes, Hannah was quarantining with Matt and she said that Matt would be perfect for me. And I'm just like, girl, why didn't you just ask Hannah for his phone number before he was the bachelor? And just talk to him in the real world. I'm pretty sure that would have been easier. But everyone wants to be on TV, I guess.
Chris Harrison is walking far down that runway. And he's like, Heather, what are you doing here? And he's like, bitch, you were tipped off. Like, don't even act dumb.
Oh my God, nothing surprises me anymore. Well, Chris Harrison has a lot of people he needs to talk to see if he can make this happen.
So many people, which we all know what the answer is to Heather coming back.
Right. They leave it as a cliffhanger. However, I'm sure she's going to quarantine for like 2 days and then be able to go stir some shit up.
Exactly. And then it's going to be like, oh, I gave you all coronavirus? Shocking.
Oops, my bad.
Oops. So the one-on-one date card comes and it says, Piper, tonight will be worth the wait. And I'm like, bitch, what does this even mean?
From what I've seen of Piper, I enjoy her. She seems very nice. And so they are walking through the woods. And for a second, I was like, fuck yeah, this is like a Dateline episode. And it's a welcome relief from all of the girls fighting. I like wanted to watch a Dateline episode instead. That's how much they've been fighting.
I really thought that this would be your worst nightmare if a guy took you out into the middle of the woods.
I've been in woods.
I mean, you've been in woods, but if someone was like, let's go on a date and then go in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night, like, mm-mm.
I'd be like, oh, are we going like ghost hunting? I'd be into it.
You're right. There's tons of opportunities for ghost adventures, ghost stories. But of course, it's a cheesy carnival. Yay.
I love again how Tayshia's budget was like, here's one fucked up Ferris wheel. Matt James is like, turn on this mystery switch. And like, there are 95 rides and they all light up at the same time.
I am like, the intern did not build these rides. So they are in way better shape than that rickety Ferris wheel.
Imagine instead of like having a real zipper or gravitron or whatever the fuck rides they were on, they had a painted version, like they painted the taxi for Zach and Tayshia.
Exactly. I'm like, they need to step their budget up on The Bachelorette because this is just getting downright offensive at this point.
So they have cute banter. They go on all of these rides, and you know that they are both under 30 years old because after they got fucking tossed around, neither of them looked nauseous or like they wanted to barf. Meanwhile, I go on these rides now, and I get off, and I'm just like, I need like 5 minutes to contain myself to make sure I don't puke on anybody.
It's the whole vertigo sensation. I have totally felt that, where you're just like, I need to balance myself out before I just fall over and die.
But they have a fun date. It's cute. They have cute banter. And then we zoom into Heather in quarantine and her vlogging. And then this just brought me back to, remember on Colton's season, how they made him vlog? Like, it was this thing that they were trying and he was so terrible at it. And I fucking hated every second of it. And that's what they're doing with her right now. It's like, we don't care what she's doing. And she kept on saying that she got a COVID test, but it sounded like she said Coke test. And I was like, oh, that's why all these girls are so damn fuck jumpy.
Yeah, so Heather is annoying, interrupting Piper's cute date. And then they go into the night portion. And let me just tell you, Piper's dress was on point, and that bun was a stunner.
Yeah, she looked beautiful. Her eyelashes also looked very good. She looked really nice. She's a very pretty girl. Essentially, she tells him that her parents don't really express love to her verbally, and their family really isn't like that. Like, they'll show each other love by their actions. So that's her story that we learn.
Imagine you're her family and you find this out on national television. Like, I would be pissed.
I mean, it sounds like they're pretty blunt, so they probably know.
I guess. Then she says the stupid words that she's falling in love with him.
And he does not say it back.
AKA Rachel is the winner, because obviously he said it back to her with no hesitation. And I'm like, Piper, you're not the one.
And then, oh good, Temecula Road is here.
Oh, Temecula Road. I've missed them so much.
Again, I have no idea who they are. But good for them getting on the show. I miss when there are actual crowds around the couple and they're all gawking at them making out, because it makes it like that much more uncomfortable. And I love that so much when they feel so awkward. But this is just like a cool private concert, even if you don't know the people.
I just felt so bad for Temecula Road because they're making out and Temecula Road just has to stare at them and sing.
They're staring out into the camera, Sean. It's their shining moment.
I don't know about that. That girl looked like she was staring right at them like, girl, okay.
She was probably like, can I be on this season?
So if Heather's introducing herself, can I just like come in this episode too? I mean, I already quarantined.
Next week, the girl from Temecula Road is going to show up as a contestant. So that was a nice date. Piper gets the rose. And then we get the group date card, and it's Brie, Kit, Rachel, Michelle, Jesenia, Serena P., Abigail, Chelsea, and then, of course, they leave it down to Katie or Serena C., whoever's getting the one-on-one, and Serena C. is the last name. And it says, this lane leads to love, and Serena C. is fucking pissed, and Katie is like, excited. Well, so they all walk up, and they're really impressed by Matt's bowling shirt, which is awful. And they walk in, and there are snacks, there are wings and pizza, and it looks like a great spread. And you know none of them ate any of it, and that made me sad again.
At the end of the day, just jumping ahead, there is a whole pizza. And I'm like, bitch, they did not bring out a whole new pizza. Like, you literally didn't touch this pizza. And that is so upsetting because I would have eaten that whole spread myself.
So shameful. And then, of course, because everybody is having fun and it's kind of like the lightest mood we've seen on a group date thus far, because they're all just hanging out and not being pitted against each other, Chris Harrison comes in. He's like, guess what? You're going to be on two teams and the winning team gets to hang out with Matt. It's like, come on.
Then he says they're on the two different teams. So the pink team is fucking crushing it. And Michelle is on this.
Michelle's like a professional bowler. What can't she do? She's perfect.
I thought the pink team was actually going to lose because they were doing so well. But poor Abigail has the last throw. And she does not do well. So the pink team wins.
Before commercial, they show the blue team giving Matt shit. They're like, oh, we want to come. We really can't come. And then you just hear Kit go, what do you want in life? A bowler?
She's like, you don't want a fucking bowler, you dumb bitch.
At least she's bringing some fun comments, even though we know she's a problem too.
You actually get to see like Kit snide comments pull through, and I actually kind of appreciate them.
So the losers come waltzing in and they're like, womp womp. And we get to the night date, and Matt is, you know, doing his cheers or whatever, and he's like, this is less about looking for the world's best bowler. And Michelle just goes, dang it.
Yeah. Michelle, you came in with the comment. I love the humor. I need you to just continue with this.
Yeah, and they have a little one-on-one time, him and Michelle. And he's just so comfortable with her. And their chemistry is so good. And she's definitely going to get to the end, at least the final two, I think. I'm still banking on my prediction that he just totally rips her heart apart. I don't want it to happen, but it probably will.
It's just so tragic in these like kind of situations because you can tell that they have such obvious chemistry. Like, he has not this much chemistry with any other girl in the house, even Rachel.
So then Chris Harrison comes in again. Working hard for that cash. He brings a date card and everybody's all confused. And the date card is essentially the girls who were on the blue team get to come back for the night portion because Matt felt bad that he wasn't going to be able to spend time with them. And so those girls show up all dolled up out of their bowling shirts. And the rest of the girls on the pink team are kind of pissed.
I think the girls are getting upset because they have been consumed by all of the Victoria and Anna and Katie drama that they just want to spend 5 minutes where they can just talk to him. And here is another hurdle that they put up to get the girls more frustrated, especially Chelsea. Chelsea is furious.
Matt talks to Jesenia and Matt talks to Serena P, and Serena P says she's falling for him. We don't really get too much of his reaction. They just make out. So assuming he doesn't say it back to her either. And then we get frustrated Chelsea, who just asks him to be patient with her. And he says that he can see himself with her, but I don't believe a fucking word that he says to her. They make out on the steps. And I'm like, Chelsea. just start your search for another model boy, because I don't think this is going to pan out for you.
You know, that was it. And he's giving out his kudos. But we already know the freaking thing is going to Michelle, so I don't know.
And next, we get Mr. Tyler C. back on this episode.
They're having a good time, and I think Matt is finally relaxing after all the drama he's had to go through.
Yeah, you definitely see him enjoying his time for once, I feel like. And Matt says that he's going on a one-on-one with Katie, and she was the one with the cactus-sized dildo. Dude, cactus dildo sounds like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Please don't put those two words in the same sentence ever again.
Have you ever seen another penis in your life? Because I don't think anyone has a cactus-sized dildo.
I mean, I know he was just trying to explain it as something that has girth, but it was just the wrong choice. And this is my favorite thing that Matt says. He's like, it's really great talking to Tyler. You know, I've seen this process work for Tyler. It's like, you saw this process work because when he got off the show, he dated supermodels? Like, what process worked for him?
Of course, Tyler then comes in clutch with the just be you advice.
Awesome advice. Hey, to everybody out there, no matter what you're going through, just be you, okay?
It had to be better than Ben's advice. We have to at least come to that conclusion.
So we get Katie's one-on-one. She walks in. They're in a spa. And she, you could tell she's just so excited. This girl thinks she's getting a motherfucking spa day. And Matt is like, we're going to prick Tyler while he gets a massage.
She was so sad. But of course, she put on a good face and was like, this will be so much fun. I love being silly. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
So they hire an actor to be Tyler's masseuse. And I just kept thinking about how the producers in quarantine were just watching Impractical Jokers. And they were like, this would be a bitchin' idea for a date.
It is the worst idea in poor masseuse lady. So basically how it goes is this masseuse lady is going to massage Tyler, and Katie and Matt are going to be behind the scenes whispering into the masseuse's ear to do things.
I think I would have had a lot of fun doing this.
They don't make it funny until Katie calls the masseuse. And the masseuse is the comedian.
She's like, what up, girl? And the masseuse is like, guess who I'm massaging? Tyler C. He's even hotter in person.
And Tyler C. is probably like, what the fuck?
He's like, nothing I haven't heard before.
After the phone call, Matt comes in and starts massaging him. And he has the most delicate fingers.
Oh my God, so gentle. It was actually reminding me of like a weird Ari hand situation. I had to look away. But it looked like he has done this before, particularly on Tyler C.
Yeah, so we have some questions, Matt James.
And we get to the night portion. And they have a bit of a conversation about her past relationships. And it's just like total just friends vibes.
I don't even understand how they even got to this point, because Katie is just not the one for him, and that's okay, but I don't see how they even brought it to this point.
This happens to a lot of contestants on the show. I feel like if you're somewhat normal, you have fun conversations and you do like kind of have a friend vibe, you sometimes make it further than you should because you don't have actual one-on-one time, but the other person feels really comfortable with you. And I feel like Matt feels really comfortable with Katie and thinks she's fun and likes having her around as kind of like a comfortable presence. But romantically, it's just not there. And she at one point says, I'm here for you till the end if you, you know, see it going that way. And his face was just like, it's just not a good face.
You're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, it wasn't a good face. And then he grabs the rose and I'm like, no effing way he is giving this to her.
They always make them do this, and it's so brutal. They always make them grab the rose, even if they're not going to give it to them.
Yes. And so instead of giving the rose to Katie, he straight up dumps her. And Katie talks about how she was painting their future in her head. And I was like, girl, you were painting the wrong future because no one saw that.
You know what I heard when she was talking? She was like, I wanted to go to a football game with Matt and Tyler and his friends and my friends. And I was like, oh, so you just want to like go to a football game with Tyler.
Right? Like, okay.
Then they show Matt James walking out into the wilderness again. He looks like motherfucking Bigfoot. I'm sorry. It's like a silhouette of a very tall man like walking into the woods.
Oh, poor Matt James. So we get to the cocktail portion and they pan to Heather and her dress is excessive. And she is straight up saying, Matt could be my husband, is annoying. Like, I really hope they have no fucking chemistry and she just goes home after 1 week of embarrassing herself.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that he's not going to send her home. But he's in a tux again because this is his third first night because he keeps getting new people showing up.
But then he pulls Abigail aside first and I am living for it. I know they're going to have the best conversation and it's exactly what Abigail needs. Hopefully they had a good conversation. Obviously, we saw Heather driving the whole time, which I was confused because I swear she was staying at the Nemacolin.
No, at one point, Chris tells her to go back to her motel and I was like, well, I hope at least she's at the Rosebud.
Hopefully there's a Rosebud motel over there.
Yeah, and then Matt talks to Bree, and she gets lipstick all over his face. Then Matt is talking to Piper, and all the girls are already freaking out because Heather walks in her bad plastic see-through heels, and they're all staring at her like, who the fuck are you? Heather barges in to Piper's time. And this is where we see Matt in his typical way of not knowing how to fucking react to anything. Because he just starts laughing hysterically. And Piper is like, are you for fucking real right now?
Heather, oh my God, how are you?
He's like, I'm sorry, Piper. I need a minute. I would have smacked him in the fucking face.
I would have been like, you fucking send her home right now because I can't deal with any more of this bullshit.
And Piper walks out. She's like, what the fuck? And it was great.
It was a really great moment of her just bursting and is like, good acting, Piper. Good acting.
And then Serena C, of course, starts bashing this girl. Doesn't even know her.
But then they show a close-up of them talking and I know they were friends, but I didn't realize that friends put hands on each other's knees. Like, should I do that the next time I see you? I'm confused.
Obvi. But apparently they're not friends. They know of each other because of Hannah, but they've never met before in person.
So who? Okay, so you've never met somebody and you're just going to straight up put your hand on their knee? Like, that's just creepy to me.
It's just bachelor vibes.
And as they are having a shallow conversation that isn't really going anywhere, the girls are ready to straight up start a fight club. Like, they're ready to battle her.
And Serena P gets one of my favorite lines of the evening. If she gets a rose tonight, I will be rageful. And I was like, that is my mood all the time. Constantly rageful about everything.
Constantly full of rage. Welcome to the club, Serena P.
So that's where we end it. We get another cliffhanger. So we'll have to see next week where dear Heather ends up.
But next week, we are going to drink a van cocktail to pay homage to Heather driving in a fucking minivan.
I truly love that they just keep showing her driving herself everywhere in a minivan.
I really hope it doesn't end here. Like, I hope the producers milk this minivan and have her drive the minivan next episode.
When she gets kicked out, she drives herself to the airport in the minivan. She picks up other people. It turns into a taxi service.
She's like, oh, girls, you didn't get the rose either. Okay, get in my minivan. We'll all cry together. It's time to say goodbye, but join us next week as we dive into episode 7 of Matt James' season.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Here for the Cocktail Party, all one word, for more content and cocktail recipes. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.